Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest, the very Southwest tonight. Thanks for joining me. Another show that will fly by. I mean, it's going to fly. I'm going to talk the least, I hope. Two informative, passionate guests in studio with me. Coley Ward from the Food Conspiracy Co-op. I'm not even going to say that again. I'm just going to say Food Co-op because it'll be fewer words. And Stefan Herbert Fort from Local Root Aquaponics. And I said that right. There's no other, like, Stefan, I got that right. Yes. Okay. And since the time will fly, please don't forget to follow Mrs. Green on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, all of which can be done by visiting my website at mrsgreensworld.com. There will be a podcast of this show that you can have for your listening pleasure. So let's go. Like, seriously, 30 minutes will fly. We probably now only have 29. Let's start with you, Coley. Lots of things going on at the Food Co-op. You had a grand opening that I couldn't make of an expansion. There's a local food challenge. So what do you want to talk about first? Probably tell people what the Food Co-op is, because we can't assume they know.
We have over 2,000 owners, and the difference between us and a larger chain is at that larger chain, someone may own 1,000 shares of that company. At the Food Co-op, they own an equal share.
I love it. And you told me once when we had lunch or something in our many chatters that isn't the cooperatives around the country, aren't they one of the second or third largest purchasers of organic food, some stat that you said? I mean, it's massive how much they purchase.
Our co-op belongs to a larger co-op.
Good.
It's made up of small co-ops, and we all join together to give ourselves more purchasing power. And we are the second largest customer from the distributor that we buy from, right behind Whole
Foods.
Huge.
It's huge. Right behind Whole Foods. Did everybody hear that? Like, I like to ring the bell occasionally for effect, okay? So we're going to have fun. Behind Whole Foods. I love it. I can't wait till you're ahead of Whole Foods. And I better not say that, but it's all good. It would be wonderful.
Everybody loves co-ops, wonderful. Even Whole Foods.
Oh, my gosh. Even Whole Foods. Yeah. They're not into bashing. Okay. So do you want to talk about the Eat Local Food Challenge?
We should definitely talk about the Eat Local Challenge.
Okay.
And what it is we are encouraging our shoppers to eat more local food from the beginning of the month through the 15th. And to help them, we've taken all of our local foods and we've put them on sale 10% off. There's also every day a different item from our conspiracy kitchen that is 25% off. Today it was breakfast burritos. Tomorrow it's going to be cookies from Small Planet Bakery. And we encourage people, set a goal during this time, eat more local food.
I love it. And then sometimes on Fridays I look and I'm not close enough down there. It's not very green for me to drive down in my fuel efficient car to get hot dogs, organic hot dogs. And it makes me salivate.
Every Friday, grass fed organic hot dogs, beef hot dogs, or we have vegan smart dogs that are made of soy.
Guilt-free hot dogs is what I see that. I'm like, gosh, someday I have to plan to meet you for lunch down there. Okay. So eat more locally. So the easiest way to do that, one is to shop at the Food Co-op. That would be your number one recommendation. Another way that I know you fully support is the farmers markets. And buyer beware, you can say that on the show. Be careful, then make sure that it is locally grown, that it is organic. You have to really vet the vendors at the farmers markets too. I ask questions.
Absolutely. I always talk to the farmers at the markets, all the different vendors, because that's part of the fun of going to the farmers markets is talking to them. Where does it come from? How did you grow it? And there are some really knowledgeable growers.
And you can go to Sleeping Frog and then know what's in season for everybody. It's so easy.
Absolutely. The Sleeping Frog Farms is a great, they're a great local group, great farmers. They grow a lot of the local produce that you see at the co-op. They've got a booth at the St. Phillips Farmers Market on Sunday. They've got local community-supported agriculture options where you can invest in their farm and you get a share every week. You get a box of vegetables that you can pick up either at the farmers market or on Sunday evenings. You can pick up your box at the back of the co-op. They're great. And they're an example of, they're just one example of people who are taking creative steps to grow food locally. I was just talking with Adam from Sleeping Frog Farms today, and he was telling me about how they use chickens and goats on their farm they'll send them out in the field after they've harvested to eat what's left of the field and so that they can start over from scratch. They'll send them out in the field before they've harvested to eat the weeds and everything.
And they eat bugs.
They eat bugs.
The chickens eat bugs.
The chickens, they produce fertilizer that's fantastic for the plants. You know, those guys they do amazing work, and their vegetables are delicious.
And they're really nice, and they're really fun. Why haven't I had them on a show?
I don't know.
What's
what
up with that?
For.
I don't either. Know. I will. Note to self, I'm going to do that. As soon as I put this on Tucson Cluck's Facebook page, because we want to mention them.
I wanted to say, while we're talking about chickens, we should talk about Tucson Cluck's, which is a local group that is working to change Tucson's local ordinances governing the keeping of chickens and other backyard livestock. I don't own a chicken coop, and I wasn't really aware of the popularity of chicken coops until I started working at the co-op
and the chicken farm. The tours sell out.
We do our chicken coop tour chicken every coop year, tours. Our self-guided tour of backyard chicken coops every December. And it's always a big hit. And, through participating in that, I've really seen just how many people are involved in raising chickens and how much they love it. And it's fantastic, because these chickens produce fertilizer for gardens, and then people have these wonderful backyard gardens that are made more possible and more sustainable
You're
because of the chickens.
Eggs.
You're getting all these eggs on a regular basis. It makes all the sense in the world. And all the stories that you used to hear about, oh, chickens are loud, or chickens, they smell bad. None of that's true.
At all, especially if you're feeding healthy food.
Absolutely. I have several neighbors
garbage
right
in,
now.
Garbage in, garbage.
Absolutely. You throw your, you save your compost, you give it to the chickens, there's scraps. It's a wonderful system. So Tucson Cluck's is on Facebook, and they're looking for people to support them this summer in their effort to bring our city's ordinances up to code.
So there are city ordinances that say you can't have it. Is it HOAs, or is it just in the codes?
Well, you know, the way it works right now is that there are certain rules on the books that govern what you have to do if you're going to keep chickens. And, you know, one of the rules, for example, is that you have to keep the chicken coop, I believe it's 50 feet from the property line. Well, when you're living in an urban environment, that's nearly impossible. And the city,
it's counterintuitive.
The city, to their credit, they recognize that, and they don't enforce it. And so this group is just saying, look, we've got a bunch of rules that aren't being enforced. Why don't we try and bring these rules, why don't we update them and make them a little bit more realistic, a little bit more cognizant of what the realities of
and Coley, I had Mayor Rothschild on last week on this show, sitting right where you are, and he's doing that. His team is getting out a lot of those. There's lots of redundancies in the codes, and they're really trying. They, of course, focused on small business, yay, and he's already moving it forward. So you've got the right people there to make these kind of changes. But there's always that one neighbor. We have one.
And so, you know, Tucson Cluck's, what they're most looking for are people who have stories to tell, either about raising chickens themselves or about living next door to chickens, who want to talk about it. You know, it was great. It didn't smell. It wasn't a lot of noise. It was fun. The kids like playing with the chickens. It was great for the garden. It was great for the community.
My grandchildren have a chicken coop, my daughter and my grandchildren, and you can't even hear them. They make tiny little cluck cluck noises. That's a rooster that makes all that noise. You don't have to have that.
This is veering a little farther from what I wanted to talk about tonight, but our chicken coop tour this year, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we had a couple of schools participate in the tour. And one of them was Manzo Elementary School, and they have a chicken coop in addition to rainwater harvesting. And
they're
a couple
doing
of,
so many great things there. It makes me want to cry.
Have you had Moses Thompson, the guidance counselor from Manzo Elementary?
No, writing that down, but I have retweeted his, there's a video that Motto Productions did, and I Facebooked about it, and
me
I
too.
Shared it.
It's a fantastic video.
Oh my
and
God, it's so...
Moses does things over there. Those kids fight over who gets to put the garden tools away and who gets to clean up after the chickens and shovel the compost. They love it. And it's really, I've never seen anything like it. And it gets me excited to send my kids to that school someday.
And you would be fun. Cassidy, don't say that. No, I just want to keep thinking of her as tiny feet. We have to have him on the show, Moses.
Yeah.
And it would be so great if we could have one of the kids. Kids do great on this radio show. They do. They really do. It's great experience. Okay. Note to self. You're booking up my shows. Okay. Garlic harvest. I'm keeping us on track. Talk about the garlic harvest.
Forever Young Farm is a local farm there in Amado. And this Saturday, they're going to be harvesting garlic starting at 8 a.m. You can find directions to the farm on the Food Conspiracy's website. That's foodconspiracy.coop. And no hyphen, just foodconspiracy.coop.
It's like coop.
Right.
I did say that to my Mr. Green. I said it's like food coop.
Yeah. Forever Young Farms is, they're one of the big producers of local produce in the area. And they, again, it's all grown without pesticides or herbicides. And it's fantastic. It's delicious. It's fresh. And you can buy it at the co-op. And if you go out there this Saturday and help them harvest their garlic, they'll send you home with a little bit of garlic. And they'll fix you lunch, and it's a chance to see where your food is grown.
And it's so great, and what a great family thing.
It absolutely.
What a great family thing, and I don't think it's going to be brutally hot. We're getting a little break in the weather. Sunday, I think it's going to be really hot. I think 100. So just go early. It's 8 o'clock in the morning.
It's in Amado, so it'll probably be a little cooler.
A little bit higher elevation. Yeah. Okay, that's great. Yeah. So we're about 11 minutes in, and it's up your show, both of you. So do you have other things you want to say about the food co-op? Because we want to remember, Stefan, tell everybody you're still here. Say hello. He's there. Okay.
Well, I was just about to say that, you know, we started out talking about Sleeping Frog and Tucson Klux, and those are two examples of local growers who are people who are doing creative things to produce food locally, whether it's grow vegetables or keep chickens. Stefan here is another great example of somebody who's thinking outside the box and trying to grow food a little bit more sustainably in the city and in the desert, which is not always easy. And I mean,
really isn't easy. But before we switch over there, I want to ask you that you are so truly passionate. You're really a greenie. When I say that with the highest praise, you ride a bike. You have driven a bike like to local routes. It was so hot. I couldn't wait to get back in my car and put the air conditioning on, but it's clean diesel. And you really live an authentically green lifestyle. You're so passionate about it. You're so passionate about the food co-op. Was it an evolution? And by that, I mean, for me, it has been. Like, I was the sleeping frog, and then I woke up, and now I'm hopping everywhere trying to tell people to wake up too and make changes. What's a little bit of the personal side?
I think it's an evolution for everybody. I'm not even entirely sure. I don't think that there was like a moment where I, you know, all of a sudden realized that I'd been living a non-green life.
Right.
But I grew up in the suburbs, and I, my family recycled, and the older I got, I spent a week at an environmental education center once, and that was the first time I ever went more than a couple of days without eating meat. And then I saw that that could be done. And since moving to Tucson, I've really discovered, you know, riding a bike around is fantastic. And, you know, it's made easier by the fact that we have so many great bike paths and bike lanes here in town. And, I've learned a lot.
It really is a bike-friendly community. And PAG is one of my new sponsors, and they're putting in more and more and more. It makes me really proud to have them as a partner.
It's a great community. Every time I hear somebody complain about how this city is not bike-friendly, I think, well, you must never have lived in any other city.
York City, they're not bike-friendly.
No, I mean, I lived in Atlanta before Tucson, and you take your life in your hands. And Atlanta, I mean, they couldn't be more contemptive.
I like that word. And yeah. If it's not a word, we make up words here. It's down to earth with Mrs. Green.
They really are not big fans of public transportation there. And so it's exciting to see a city where we're investing in bike paths and we're investing in the modern streetcar, which if you've come down to 4th Avenue and the co-op recently, that's part of the reason that the avenue was under construction. But if you go to our website, we've got plenty of tips for how to avoid the construction.
I want to say, get over it. Get over it. It might inconvenience you for 120 seconds.
Well, you are invited to tell people to get over it. We are going to take the tact of asking people to support us during this less than convenient time.
Good.
And we've got additional parking for cars at the back of the co-op, and we've got plenty of bike parking at the front. So we do hope it won't be too big of an inconvenience.
And I have to I just have to say this because it's coming out in my newsletter tomorrow. The study said that if they build that streetcar, literally it was build it and they will come, and they studied city after city. So guess what? There's all kinds of development now going downtown and around that streetcar route from where you are.
Sure.
Downtown. Millions and millions of private money coming in to invest in Tucson.
Sure.
Thank you so much. There you go. Okay, so Stefan, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Segway, you knew it was going to fly, and we're halfway through. So tell us, you have to tell us a lot, because I don't think everybody listening or that will download the podcast actually knows what aquaponics is. And then we'll talk about your company and how exciting that is.
Sure. Well, I'll start with defining aquaponics. Aquaponics is the combination of aquaculture, which is raising fish, and hydroponics, which is growing plants in water. In an aquaponic system, you create a mutually beneficial environment for the plants and for the fish. Aquaponic systems save water, and they're natural by design.
And do you know what? We got 99 hits on that little video we did.
Oh, great.
I think that's really great. We'll get more, but it's like it shows what it looks like, because I get frustrated that I can't show people the visual part. But 99 views on YouTube is good.
And, you know, the plants in that system are already about twice as big as they were video was shot.
That would be a really great picture for you to put up on Facebook tomorrow. So the visual is the fish. It's the fish are literally upstream. They start it. They're in the water.
Yeah.
It goes the rocks and the plants.
Right. So a typical system, at least that we're setting up now, is a series of tanks. The top tank is the fish tank, and the water is then circulated through grow beds that are filled with a media of some sort. We've come to like using lava rocks as our media. We also stock those grow beds with composting worms, so that as the fish solids build up over time in the grow beds, the composting worms can go to work, aerate the grow bed, and produce vermicompost right there in the bed for the plants to use.
You did not tell me that when I was there.
No,
that's great. That's great. So the fish fertilize, and then the worms eat the fish fertilizer.
That's right.
And
the
then
worms
the
break it down.
Worms fertilize.
That's right.
We're talking closed loop here. I like it.
That's right. And then that clean water, once the plants have taken up the nutrients, is then returned to the fish. So you're never doing water changes in a correctly balanced aquaponic system.
And you're not using pesticides and herbicides. What do you feed the
That's
fish?
Right.
I didn't ask you that either. We wanted a short video.
Yeah, a combination of things. We try to feed our fish as much homegrown, natural fish food as possible. And so that includes worms, black soldier fly larvae, duckweed, algae, snails.
I'm going to be hashtagging a lot.
Crickets.
Crickets.
And then in combination also with premium commercial food, there's been a lot of research that's gone into formulating commercial fish foods that are appropriately balanced for the different species. And it is somewhat important to still, I think, supplement with some of that just to make sure your fish really are getting everything they need to keep them healthy.
So Local Roots is your Local Roots Aquaponics. Is your company going to help people? Are you going to install these systems in people's yards?
Yes, we are. The company actually has a few different angles. One is setting up community-sized aquaponic systems that we're going to use to feed a CSA program, a community supported agriculture program, where people can pick up weekly boxes of our produce. But we also build aquaponic systems for people that want to do it themselves. We provide advice. We just want to get people to accept this technology and to really start using it in the desert where it's most needed.
So if a couple of neighbors wanted to get together and do this because they thought it was like daunting, but they were going to share the costs and share the yard.
Yeah.
The one system that is on my website, you can see how big it is. How many of those systems would you need? How many of those aquaponic centers or whatever you call them would you need to put in if a couple of families wanted to go in? And what kind of yield are we talking?
Well, that system that you're talking about there is our family system. It's called the family model. And it's appropriate for one family, 3 to 4 people,
okay,
for supplemental produce.
Right.
I'd say if you wanted to really grow all of your own produce, one family might want two of those systems. But you really can grow a lot of produce in these systems.
What does the best? Does everything do well? Or is it like great for tomatoes and great for lettuce and great for carrots? Or well, is it, what if you did cucumbers? Like they're so big.
Sure. Yeah. People do cucumbers in aquaponics. Tomatoes, peppers, eggplant. Right now I'm putting in melons. Leafy greens also do extremely well. That's the easiest thing to grow.
So when they get bigger, do they just go over the sides?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Actually, some of the pictures we have on our Facebook page right now show a family system that's really just bursting with produce.
Okay, I have to check that out. How did I miss that one, Coley? Well, I don't know. Facebook fiend that I am.
And on Mother's Day, you'll have the chance to see some of these plants and the systems for yourself.
That's right.
This Sunday?
Yeah, this Sunday, we're going to be opening up our first CSA site, which is, the address is 2635 North Treat.
Is that where I went?
Yes, that is
where you went. Okay.
And so between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. on Sunday, Mother's Day, feel free to drop by and take a look at the systems. I'll be there and just answering questions and showing people around, trying to convince everybody.
And I invite you to share that on my Mrs. Green Facebook page.
Oh, sure.
Because I have a lot of followers, and I'll tweet it. And since my children have abandoned me for Mother's Day because they live in other cities, I had a wine once. I will probably be able to do that with Mr. Green, who still stayed with me.
Okay,
so it's
great.
Like, okay.
People can also get that event info at the Food Conspiracy's website, foodconspiracy.coop.
You guys are so great at cross-promoting. And I just, you know, Coley is the sponsor of this show for the Food Conspiracy, the Food Co-op. And I asked him, he could have made it all about him, all about the Food Co-op, and he wanted to bring Stefan on, which I think is wonderful. I think it's truly, but it's the sense of community that the Food Co-op fosters. So I think it's awesome. So your plans are to grow the business.
That's right. Yeah, we're growing all sides of the business. More and more people are buying these systems for themselves. I'm trying to get their control of their own food in their backyard. So I'm busy setting up systems. We're putting in a few systems in TUSD schools, and that's thanks to a grant through the Community Food Bank.
Okay. So do you partner with them? That's another great partnership?
Yep, awesome. That is a great partnership. Yeah, they've been really great about that, as have been the people I'm working with at the schools. So those systems are going into Wakefield, the greenhouse at Wakefield School, and then I have just put in a mini system inside a classroom at Ross Grudge School.
And you know, for kids,
I have to say the kids love it.
Kids love it.
Yeah.
Kids find out their food does not come from Safeway. It's like, it's really great. It doesn't show up all packaged in plastic. Yeah. And with my own grandchildren, that's the way it seems to go. Anything digging. My granddaughter and I planted one time up in high country 300 bulbs. And believe me, after like 50 bulbs, my ADD was like, you got to be kidding. This is so overrated. And Mr. Green stepped in and said, what were you thinking? But we did it, and my granddaughter stayed the course. Kids love to get their hands in the dirt and grow and connect. So that's wonderful.
And when there's fish involved, they
I know that part. It's also, so I've heard the system, the aquaponic system, it's really described as a closed loop.
That's
so
right.
Does it cost a lot for the water?
No, actually.
It's way cheaper than growing in dirt, yes?
Yeah, it's much cheaper. Over the course of growing out a crop of vegetables and fish, you end up conserving about 90% of the water that you would use to grow that food traditionally.
And how do you know if the fish aren't happy? Do they, like, pass on to fish heaven? You have to keep the fish happy, right?
They will eventually pass on to fish heaven. The first thing they'll do if they're stressed at all is stop eating.
And how can you tell? If they stop eating, because the food stays on the top?
Yeah, exactly. Because when they're happy, when you go out there and feed them, eventually they get to know you. They come up to the surface.
Are you joking?
And they're waiting for their food, and they splash around and eat it up really quickly. Yeah. So you know if they're not happy, if they're not acting like that. And immediately you can start looking at the different aspects of the system and figure out.
I can see a movie coming, Happy Fish. It's okay. It's good. It's really good. Have you seen fish happy to see you, Coley?
Yeah. Have you ever been to a koi pond and you walk up to the edge? They all, you know, gather around like that.
That's so awesome. So they stop eating and you're observant enough to know. So they eat healthy, fertilize, then it's okay, closed loop, and the water, yeah. I think people think, oh my gosh, it takes so much water. Well, the evaporation factor, if you're doing ground gardening, is much higher, yes?
Well, I'm not sure which is higher, actually. They may be around the same. I mean, you do have evaporation in, you know, in-ground gardening, just like you do in aquaponics. You might actually have a little more transpiration through the plants in aquaponics because they are sitting in just an aquatic environment. But that's also why the plants are able to grow about twice as fast as their in-ground counterparts.
So the yield is really better.
They're drawing those nutrients up extremely rapidly and efficiently.
Do you ever have to change the nutrients to, if you can you tell if there's something with the plants, like if they're getting yellow leaves or something like that? How do you monitor that? Or do you just know because the fish are happy?
Yeah, no, there are signs in the plants when the plants are unhappy as well, and you learn to read those. Some things I've learned a lot about is just the acidity of the water, how important pH is. And if you're, for example, your pH is too high, which is often the case out here with our alkaline water from the desert, it can be difficult for plants to take up, say, iron. And so even if there's a lot of iron in the water in your system, in this natural ecosystem, the plants can have difficulty taking that up, and so they can show signs of iron deficiency, yellow
leaves.
Just
like humans. It's really hard for humans to absorb iron. If they have a deficiency, it's hard to get it through supplements. Okay.
Yeah, and so if you know what to look for, you can kind of trace these problems down as they happen. And once you get the hang of it, you really don't have these problems. You have many fewer problems than you do gardening in the ground, in my opinion.
So where can people buy your vegetables? Can they buy your vegetables already?
Not quite yet. No, we're still building the systems to supply that side of the business. But I am at farmers markets in town already. I'm at the Maynard's Market Saturday morning downtown.
How is that? Does that get a good...
It's a great market, okay. Yeah, and it's growing. Every week it seems to be growing. Definitely come check us out. We've got a number of great vendors down there.
What are you selling?
I'm selling seedlings right now, and I'm also advertising our aquaponic kit systems and just talking aquaponics in general.
Okay, and is it a diverse group that shows up down there? Anytime I'm downtown, to me, the demographic is everybody.
It is, yeah,
there's
it's all
young,
over the
old
map.
Kids, mm-hmm. retirees, people with gray hair, little kids running around.
That's
I think
right.
Downtown is so alive. So that's a great market to
it
know
is,
about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm also at the Friday Jesse Owens Market. That's on the east side.
How's
east
that
on
doing?
Broadway. I've only been there a couple of weeks, but I really like it. It's a beautiful park, great vendors, good amount of people.
Okay, so that's great. So, Coley, what else? We have about 3 minutes. Do you want to talk about any other things? Can we just touch a little bit on your extensively detailed, wonderfully informative food labeling system?
Sure.
At the food co-op.
Sure. Well, you know, we have tags on the shelves in produce and grocery, and we try and give our customers as much information as possible so they can make informed decisions. On the grocery side, we have tags that alert customers when something is gluten-free or fair trade, or lately we added some tags to indicate whether or not that product was certified by the non-GMO project.
Okay.
And on the produce side, we always tell our customers if something is organic. All of our non-local produce is certified, USDA certified organic.
What about your flowers? You sell flowers down there.
We do occasionally have flowers in the store. They're the ones that I've seen are always grown by Forever Young Farm, which means that they're probably not USDA certified organic, but Forever Young participates in a program called Certified Naturally Grown, which Sleeping Frog Farm has also recently joined in with, and that's where farmers take turns inspecting each other to ensure that they're vegetables and everything are.
Can you believe it? Like, seriously, are you shaking your head that it's over? Okay, please join Coley at thefoodcoop.com. It's like foodcoop.com, and give a shout out for your website.
Sure, Local Roots Aquaponics. That's localrootsaquaponics.com. We're also on Facebook.
And it's actually Food Conspiracy Co-op.
Food Conspiracy Co-op. Okay, we'll remember that. Okay, thanks for being with us. Please remember, I invite you to join me every Saturday live, 12 Pacific Standard Time at Mrs. Green's World, where I interview guests from all over the country. Happy Mother's Day. Make it a great green week. Thanks, you guys, for being with us and what you do for the planet. It was great.
Thank you.
Thank you.